peace, serenity, relaxation. This is the perfect place for a much-needed vacation. Warmed by the sun and cooled by the breeze, everything here feels just right. But beneath the surface lies a hidden danger. This is a riptide, an invisible wave, a deceptive current below. It begins with a subtle tug, a pull in the wrong direction. The strength of the current grabs you, the way back seems too steep. This is a riptide, a perilous power that starts with a simple drift. So beware the signs, stay alert, and when the pull comes, resist.
Okay, I would like to ask you a question that I already know the answer to. So go ahead and get ready to raise your hand. Have any of you ever said or done something, and then after you said or did that, thought, oops, or some other colorful version of oops, right? Have any of you ever done that? Okay. The floor's awake, the balcony, y'all too. Yep. Have you done that? You know, think with me for a second about that oops moment for you. That thing that you did that caused you to say oops or whatever it was that you said in your head. Think for just a minute about that moment. Was there anything leading up to that moment that predicted that you were going to do that? I mean, sometimes those moments just come completely out of nowhere. We just say something that's kind of out of character for us, or we do something that's out of character. Okay, those things happen. But more often than not, if you think about your last oops moment, weren't there some things that predicted that maybe you were headed in that direction? I mean, let's just say that your moment is that you called somebody something, okay? Had you called that person that in your head before you said it out loud? Or let's say that your moment is that you crossed an ethical line with a relationship or with something at work. Can you look back? Were you tiptoeing towards that just a little bit? I mean, there are times when our big, bad decisions just come out of nowhere. But most of the time, if we look back at our oops moments and we learn from them, it's kind of a slow fade towards that. We dipped our toe in the water. We started texting a little bit more. We started playing a few scenarios in our head just a little bit. This morning, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to share something with you that's just kind of fun. We're just having a little bit of fun together. And then I'm going to share a story with you about someone who drifted quite a ways. And then I'm going to share a few practical things with you that are going to help you to avoid your next oops moment. We're not going to deal with your last one this morning. I want to help you to avoid the next one. Let me pray for us. God, thanks for this time that we have together. I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will be with us. Guide our conversation just, Lord, as you have been with us as we've sung and as we have prayed together. Lord, won't you now be with us as we look at some scripture together? Lord, I know that you're here, and I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will be with us and will guide us. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, as we get going, I just need to talk to our tech team real quick. I don't have a confidence monitor, and without a confidence monitor, this is not going to go nearly as well for the people in here as it would with a confidence monitor. So if we could get a confidence monitor, that would help us out a whole lot. So how many of you, get your hands ready again. How many of you, Brad's ready. How many of you are going to the beach this summer? How many of you are going to the beach this summer? Okay, hands up really high. I want to know who I'm working with this morning. Okay? How many of you, the beach you're going to is on the Florida Panhandle? How many of you are on the Florida Panhandle? 30A is on the Florida Panhandle. That may get a few more hands. Okay? All right, a handful of you are going to 30A. Now, here's what you need to know. I fancy myself as a bit of an expert on the Florida Panhandle. Okay? I've been going to the Florida Panhandle for 38 years. My first trip to the Florida Panhandle was no lie when I was 4 weeks old, okay? I know a little something about the Florida Panhandle. And a bunch of y'all go to 30A, and I'm a little bit concerned, okay? I'm a little bit concerned that you're missing out, okay? I'm a little bit concerned that you're missing out because you stop at 30A, and if you were just to go 20 or 30 more minutes, you get the full Florida Panhandle experience, okay? If you were to go just 20 or 30 minutes more past 30A, you know where you'd be? You'd be at the home of Club La Vila, okay? You would be at the home of the 1990s MTV Spring Break experience, okay? You'd be at the home of Pineapple Willie's and Sharky's. You would be in the redneck Riviera itself, of Panama City Beach, Florida. At PCB, baby, I'm just telling you, that is the Florida Panhandle, okay? 30A is great, I love it, I go visit it, all of those things, but you're not getting the full Panhandle experience if you don't drive 20 or 30 extra minutes and hit up PCB. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the differences. You see, where we stay now, our family, we stay right on the border of both of those places. Caroline Beach is a hidden jewel of the Florida Panhandle. Those of you that go to 30A, you shop at the Publix. That's as far east as you're going to go, okay? Caroline is right across from that Publix. And when you're at that Publix, if you go west, you're in 30A. And if you go east, you're in Panama City Beach. Here's what that means. If you go west, that is not what's supposed to be up there, okay? If you go west, pretend like you didn't see any of that stuff. Behind the curtain, just a little bit. Not sure why. We're having some technical difficulties this morning. We don't normally have speakers right here, and when we do, they don't normally fall over, okay? Normally that monitor works, and normally this is black when I get up here. Okay, so we'll see if we can cut that out for the video. Okay. Caroline Beach. If you go west, you know what you get to get when you're on 30A? I mean, 30A is so nice, right? You get avocado and lime sorbet, okay? That's what you get. That you get on 30A. Meanwhile, me and my friends, you know what we're doing? We're down at Pineapple Willie's with a plastic bucket full of ribs, okay? That's what you get in Panama City Beach. I mean, look at these. You get free refills, all kinds of stuff on 30A, okay, or on Panama City Beach. Jack Daniel's Tennessee whiskey ribs. Okay. All right, when you're on 30A, you can buy a nice bumper sticker for your car. Okay. You've seen a few of these on some Suburbans around Dallas. If you go on over to PCB, you know what you can get? You can get an airbrushed trucker hat with Doug on it. Out of Caroline, if you go west, you might run into somebody like this, okay? My boss, Paul Rasmussen, okay? Hanging out at Watercolor, okay? You go east, you know who you're gonna run into? You're gonna run into me and my first cousin, Michael Pitts, okay? That's who you're going to run into in Panama City Beach. This is my first cousin, Michael Pitts. Michael Pitts is sponsored by Realtree. He is a Realtree pro. And if you are an outdoors person and you like humor, this is who you want to follow. Me and Michael will be hanging out in PCB in just a couple of weeks, okay? Look, and here's the thing. There are a lot of differences in 30A and in Panama City Beach, but there are a few things that are the same. You go up and down the Florida Panhandle. In fact, you go to any beach in the country, and you are likely to walk out onto the beach, look to your right, look to your left, and see a flagpole. And on that flagpole is going to be a flag that is either green, which means kids, it's safe to get in the water, yellow, which this is the best flag, because this means that there are going to be big waves, but your mom or your dad or now your wife will let you get in the water, okay? Red, that's like the dreaded flag. You don't want the red flag. That's the day you go to Pineapple Willie's if you're on 30A, okay? The red flag means that you don't get in the water, or a blue flag. And a blue flag means dangerous marine life, okay? When you walk out onto the beach, the first thing that you do is you look at the flag, and it tells you what the water is like. Now, if you know anybody who's scared to get in the ocean, they're probably going to tell you that they're scared to get in the ocean because of the blue flag, okay? If you ask somebody why they're scared to get in the ocean, they're probably going to tell you that they're afraid of sharks or something like that. Now, I need to let you in a little secret here. Nobody gets attacked by sharks, okay? Like, it doesn't happen, like, ever. Okay? Okay, like, if you were attacked by a shark, I'm sorry, okay? Like, it happens sometimes, okay? But it is exceedingly rare. The danger of the water is not the shark. The danger of the water is what has to do with these first three flags. I have never seen a blue flag at Panama City Beach, ever. The real danger is what the red flag's telling you about. In fact, did you know that half of the lifeguard saves that they have at beaches, half of the times that a lifeguard has to get in the water are because of the rip current? The rip current is water that's moving from the shore out into the ocean that slowly pulls you from the shore out deeper than you intended to go. That's the real danger of the water. Forget the sharks. The real danger is the rip current. The real danger is you're out there on your boogie board and you're waiting for a wave and you don't realize that you're slowly drifting further and further out. You're out there and you're floating on a raft and you're talking to your friend and you don't realize it. You're out there and your feet are in the sand, you're up to your chest in the water, and you don't realize that you're giving inch by inch, getting further and further out. The real danger is not that one moment that comes out of nowhere, a shark attacking. The real danger is the slow pull out deeper than you intended to go. Sometimes in life, we make big, bold, bad decisions. But most of the time, the trouble that we get ourselves in is not one big, bad, bold decision. It's a slow drift. It's slowly drifting away from one relationship and towards another one. It's slowly drifting away from being kind and charitable and selfless and slowly drifting towards focusing more and more on yourself. It's slowly drifting away from your integrity. The series that we're starting today is all about resisting the pull. The slow pull from the shore that many of us have experienced where one day we've just woken up and realized that we've gone too far. But we don't want to be a church that just finger wags and says resist the pull. We want to talk about how to actually do that. How do we resist those pulls in life that slowly take us from where we want to be to a place where we're surprised to find out that we're capable of that. Now, on the beach, of course, they have all kinds of safety mechanisms that help you. The first one is the flags. And this morning, I just want to ask you, what are your red flag environments? Those places that maybe you just don't need to be. What are your yellow ones? And what are your green ones? So I'm going to tell you a story. This is a great story. For some of you, this will be a review. For some of you, it'll be the first time that you've heard it. Either way is fine. I want to tell you a story. And as I tell you this story, watch for how this person drifts. And watch for the red flags that come up that could have saved him from this. Okay, it's a story about King David, and it's found in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Okay, here's the first verse. In the spring of the year, it would have been way better if this was in the summer of the year, but it's not. Okay. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle. So I don't know if you know this, but in the ancient Middle East, springtime was a time when kings go out to battle. Okay, you know how I know that? Because that's what it says right there. Okay, that's it. Okay. In the spring of the year, that's the time when kings go out to battle. David, this is the king of Israel, sent Joab, his chief general, with his officers and all of Israel. This is all the men of Israel, all of them with him. And they ravaged the Ammonites and they besieged Rabbah. So in the spring of the year, when the kings go out to battle, David sent these officers. But David remained at Jerusalem. Well, that's strange. Because, of course, David is the king. So when kings go out to battle this year, David remained at Jerusalem. Here's our first little red flag. I mean, here's just a little bonus thing for those of you that are in leadership positions. Here's a red flag for us. Whenever you're asking somebody else to do something that you're not willing to do yourself, you've put yourself in a precarious situation. And here's one for all of us. Whenever you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're more likely to do what you're not supposed to be doing. This story about David, spoiler alert, does not head in a good direction for David, okay? And it starts not with him doing something wrong. He's just not doing what he's supposed to be doing. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I know that the foundational part of my life every day is getting up early and spending time in Scripture and spending time by myself. I just know that when I stop doing that, I'm more likely to do other things. I don't travel much, but when I do travel, one of the habits that I have is to call Amy during the day. That it's just a habit for me that the margin for my day goes to Amy first and then it goes to other things. And then I FaceTime with she and the kids at night. It's just kind of a rule that I have. I just know that if I'm not doing that, then I would be more likely to do something else. It's just a foundational, you don't have to be a Christian to believe this, it's just a foundational just truth about who we are. Whenever you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you're more likely to do what you're not supposed to do. David is in Jerusalem. And then it happened late one afternoon when David rose from his couch. And here you can see the author kind of poking at David. Not only is he not off at war with the other men, but he's laying on his couch. And he was walking about on the roof of the king's house. It seems like he's just kind of laying around, wasting time. It happened then that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. He stays back when he's supposed to be gone. He's then just kind of being lazy, kind of laying around. And then he sees this woman. David sent someone to inquire. You see, there's just one little step at a time. He sent someone to inquire about the woman. And it was reported to him by one of his servants. This is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam. That should be the end of the sentence. This is the way that people are typically introduced. So Bathsheba is her first name. Daughter of Eliam is her last name. But the servant goes a step further, trying to help out his king. The wife of Uriah the Hittite. What's the servant doing here? He's trying to help out the king. What's he doing here? Red flag. So, in response to that, David sent messengers to get her. And he came to her. And he lay with her. He didn't go to battle. He's laying around on the couch and walking around the roof. He sees her. He inquires about her. He then sends for her. And then he lays with her. Do you see the slow fade? David didn't wake up that morning saying, hey, I think that I would like to become an adulterer today, okay? It's not the way this happens. It's not one big, bad, bold decision that comes out of nowhere. It's a slow fade. And then this is what happens as a parenthetical statement. Now, she was purifying herself after her period, okay? That seems like it's not important, but it gets important in a second. Then she returned to her house. The woman conceived. And she sent and told David, I'm pregnant. We fill in a little bit of the blanks here. Her husband Uriah is off at war. When David meets her, she is cleansing herself because she has just had her cycle. And now she's pregnant. If you don't know why the parenthetical statement was important, you should call your parents tonight and they can probably explain this to you, okay? David's in trouble now. David didn't get in trouble that day. David got in trouble when he decided to stay and spend that spring in Jerusalem. And of course, it probably goes further back than that. I mean, why did David decide to stay and spend that spring in Jerusalem? We don't know. Maybe it's because the kingdom is at its greatest height it has ever been. And maybe David became a little bit prideful and a little bit arrogant and felt like the kingdom's already big. I don't need to go back out. Or maybe he felt like I've done enough. Joab needs to do some stuff. Or maybe he was just tired. There was something that led to him making that decision, to make that decision, to make that decision, to make that decision. And if you know the rest of the story, you know that he's only halfway as far as he's going to get. It keeps going from here. He calls Uriah back from the front lines. What he should have done is apologized to Uriah and swam back to shore, but he didn't. He tried to cover it up. He tried to convince Uriah to go and sleep with Bathsheba so that would cover the whole thing up. When Uriah wouldn't do that, he then resorted to just good old-fashioned murder and had Uriah taken out. David never woke up one day and said, I would like to become an adulterer who then becomes a murderer. But it was just one little thing after another, one little slow fade after another. And all along the way, there were red flags. People like the servant waving them, people that David should have seen himself, red flags saying, David, you're getting out too far. This is not water that you need to be swimming in. If I had to bottom line this for us this morning, just very, very simply, don't mistake the simplicity of this message for it being simplistic, okay? Very, very simple. Not all water is safe for swimming. There's some water that we just don't need to stick our feet in. David should have never been home in Jerusalem. And he certainly should have never invited Bathsheba over. So let me just ask you, wherever you are right now, what are your red flag environments? I mean, what are those relationships or those places? Those activities, what are those things that you just know, when I do these things, when I swim in that water, it is not good for me and it is not good for others? What are those red flag environments for you? And this is a personal thing. I mean, there's some red flag environments for all of us, but I may have some red flag environments that will actually be green for you. You may have some green ones that will be red for me. What are those things that you just know when I engage in this activity, when I'm with this person, when I do these things, when I spend time thinking about that, it does not help me. It actually leads me to drift further away from the person that I want to be. What are your red flag environments? What are your yellow ones that you can swim in, but you need to be careful? And then what are your green ones? We actually gave you a little sheet, a little take home. In your bulletin, when you came in this morning, you should have a sheet that has three columns on it that's going to give you an opportunity this week to actually do some thought work around that. What are those three environments for you? I heard somebody say one time, it was a guy who was trying not to, he and his girlfriend were trying not to sleep together when they were in college. And he said, you know, we figured out it was easier to say goodnight on the first floor in the lobby than on the third floor in the dorm room. Because once they got to the dorm room, it's a lot harder to say goodbye. I heard somebody else say, she was trying to lose weight, said, this is not my wife. I just want to go ahead and say this, okay? All right. Said, I found that it's easier to say no to the Oreos at 10 a.m. in the grocery store than at 10 p.m. in my living room, right? Right? It's pretty good, yeah? For you, what are the red flag environments? Here's some possible ones, some red flag environments. Club La Vila. In Panama City Beach is a red flag environment, okay? Other clubs might be a red flag environment for you. The bar might be a red flag environment for you. The cake bar might be a red flag environment for you. I should be sponsored. Listen to me right now, okay? The cake bar in Trinity Groves is the best dessert in Dallas, okay? Okay. If you go there, tell them I said that. Amazon.com might be a red flag environment for you. Playing Monopoly with your family, that might be a red flag environment for some of us in this room. Okay. Spending time with her might be a red flag environment for you. Texting her, going out of your way to see her during the day. Him, he might be a red flag environment for you. The casino, your phone at night, business trips. What are your red flag environments? What are the places that it is just best for you to avoid? Not for some kind of like moralistic purpose, but just because you know that it is not good for you to be in those places. Friends, not all water is safe for swimming. What are those environments that you just need to stay out of. The biggest dangers in our life are not the big, bold ones that come out of nowhere. It's the slow pull, the things that slowly move us away from what we want and where we need to be and towards something else. For you, how are you drifting right now? What are those environments that are just pulling you out? What are those things that you need to cut off to get out of your life so that you can get back to steady ground, so that you can get back to shore? So, a couple action items for this week. One, fill out that little card. And particularly, what are your red flag environments? But then for some of you, this may be the week where you begin to admit that you're out too far. It may be too late for the red flags. You may have been blowing by red flags for a while now, and now it's time for you to admit that you're out too far, and it's time for you to wave your hands and to call in the chopper. I'm just out too deep. I have found myself in waters that I never anticipated being in. I'm in too deep, and there is no way that I can swim back. There's no more tricks. I can't swim parallel to the beach anymore and then find my way back. Nobody can make a human chain to come and get me at this point. I need the chopper. I need somebody to come and get me. For some of you, this week is a week where you identify what the red flags are, and for some of you, this is the week when you wave your hands, you put your skis in the air, you pull the thing on your life jacket that sends out the glowing thing in the water. This is the week when you call the chopper and you say, I can't do this on my own. This is the week when you hit your knees and you say to God, God, I have found myself in waters that I never intended to be in. I didn't get here because I wanted to get here, and I want out, and I need you to rescue me. This is the week that you call a friend or you email a pastor and you say, I don't even know how to tell you this, but this is where I am and I need the chopper. I need somebody to pull me out of here. For some of you, it's a red flag week. For some of you, it's a chopper week. It's the week that you finally say, I'm pulling the ripcord and I'm seeking help. Because friends, I'll conclude with this. This is what the church is. I mean, come on. You know what the church is. If you've been here a while, you know what the church is. The church is not a bunch of people who have it all figured out. Okay? The church is not a bunch of morally superior people. The church is not a, no. You know what the church is? The church is a bunch of people who've been pulled out because we've gone too far. We're a bunch of people who at some point have waved our hands for the chopper, and the chopper has brought us back to shore. And now we get together and we thank the chopper. And we seek to follow the way that the chopper teaches us to live. And we go back out into the water to help pull other people back to shore. Maybe this is a week where you're looking for those red flags, where you just know you're getting a little bit too far out. Or maybe this is a week where you wave those hands and you call in the chopper and you say, there's no way that I can save myself, but I believe that he can. Friends, I hope that you have a great summer this summer. We're going to keep going through this series for a couple of more weeks. We've got some more great stuff planned for this series, and we're going to have a really, really good summer here at Highland Park United Methodist Church. Whenever I'm in town, and I'm not going to be gone very much, I'm going to be here on Sunday mornings, and whenever you're in town, I hope that you'll be here also. I hope that you'll invite friends, because what the church is a bunch of people that have been pulled out of the water that are trying to help others find their way also. Let me pray for us. God, thanks for this time that we've had together, and I pray that you, by the power of your Spirit, will be with us. Lord, I pray that you will help us to know what environments we need to avoid and what environments we need to help pull others out of. God, give us the courage, if it's the week for us to call the chopper, to do that. And give us wisdom to know what waters are safe for swimming and what waters we need to avoid. God, we love you, and we pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand for a benediction? This week, when life gets wild And when you feel like the waves are crashing over you, when you feel like you're starting to drift too far from the shore, may you know without a shadow of a doubt that God is good and he can pull you back to the shore. May you go in peace and grab a popsicle on your way out as we kick off summer the right way. Amen.